But I can't look at a situation that somebody who stays in the ghetto is in a bad situation. And I can't look at the situation somebody who's in Beverly Hills is in a great situation.
If you can describe your relationship, how would you?
Yeah, he said, if you can't afford to buy two of them, don't buy it.
Still on season two.
Yeah.
We here in the building.
Yeah.
You know how difficult it is not say we back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you still say. Yeah.
It's hard. Like, what else you gonna say?
Yo, can you believe? I mean, I know in our minds, officially though, it's really our like season two, even though this ain't the first show of season
right.
two.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, bro, I mean, we
deep
move.
In this thing.
Yeah, we on the move, yeah. man.
Hopefully move. Next week we start the live.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah, we get the rest of the, yeah, you know, we what get, we need.
Everything I mean. Set up. Yeah. We'll be good to go.
Yeah. You know how I know I'm good? You know how I know I'm good with the show? Because I get up Sunday, man, and I you know, get throw on some sweatpants or something, you know, brush my teeth and all that. But
thank God.
And my wife don't even bother me, bro. My wife be like, all right.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yo, I'm good. Okay. Okay, she going to kill me because I said that. But don't normally, where you going?
Yeah, yeah. Like
what you doing? Yeah, she
like
going to kill because I said that.
Why
yeah.
is that always her voice?
Oh, it ain't. When she hear that part, she gonna, I'm probably going to get karate chopped yeah, up back exactly. in the head or something. So, yeah, but yeah, that's how I know I'm good. My wife, you going to go Dubai? All right, yeah, I'll see you in a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what's up. Man, I got to hit the gym today. I have no gym motivation at all. I try to go on my social media, try to find some.
Yeah.
I figure that will be the plug.
Yeah.
Nobody has nothing on there. Not my people. So
I slack too, bro. I
ain't you know. Slacking today. I'm going, but yeah. I damn sure didn't go yesterday. I went for a run. What was that? Friday and Saturday. Yeah. So I took the day off because it's stupid ass football.
Don't even bring that up,
man.
Yeah, don't even bring that up.
Anyway,
and you know I ain't sport dude, but I you know with money involved and stuff. Yeah. Don't even bring that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, baby, I lost a little bit too, but. Yeah. Nothing that I can't handle. Don't ever bet what you can't. What
oh
you
yeah,
can't
yeah,
cover.
Yeah. If you can't cover it, you better not be.
Yeah,
betting.
Yeah.
That's right. I seen one thing, man. Dude was talking about big purchases. He was like, I think that might have been me and you talking too. I don't know where I read it at, man. But he was like, if you making a big purchase, if you can't afford to buy two of them, don't buy it.
Man, I never heard that.
Yeah, he said if you can't afford to buy two of them, don't buy it. Not saying when you go buy two, but if you can't buy it. And still be good if you needed to get it on. He said, right. don't. Why are you making that purchase?
That's a great mindset.
Yeah. That's what he said.
With something, not like with cars. Or
yeah.
That, like
no.
That.
Yeah. But he was like, if you can't afford to buy two, or why you?
Man, don't you? That's a great concept. Yeah. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah. I thought it was good too. Man. I had to think
that?
About it for a minute. I don't know, man. I read it somewhere. I got to think
okay.
about it. Yeah. I read it. I think it might have been like this dude, Neil Davis or something like social media, but he always talking about yeah. finance and marketing and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, he said that, man. I was like, man, that makes sense. Because that means can you really afford it if you can't, you know what I'm saying? You buy them when you can't buy two.
Yeah, I was always in that mindset or always raised with that mindset as far as, the only thing I was raised with is if something happened today, could you take care of it by buying this today? Or if something happened tomorrow, can you take care of it by buying this today? So you buy a phone, buy a watch, uh-huh. whatever.
Or could you replace it automatically?
Yeah, or so I was always taught if you replace something because something's stolen or something's yeah. broken, especially if you did it,
yeah.
you need to upgrade whatever you did.
I got you. So don't buy the same version.
Yeah,
well
exactly.
Get
yeah, but as long as you don't break it on purpose because of that. But yeah, that's how I always, so if I break my phone, I got to go get the new phone. But yeah. I usually have phones, you know, a longer amount of time.
Yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
I think of some way to finagle a new one.
I've gotten better because, I used to go through phone like every year, bro.
I was never like that. Yeah. I've always been the type that I'll keep it until like a new deal comes out. I'm like, all right, I guess I got
guess
a free
get
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just spoil you mentality. Let me get it.
But you are early adopters, man. I mean, y'all control a lot of what happens. I mean, anybody who does anything big are early adopters.
Yeah.
The late bloomers and all that stuff, yeah. they always fall behind.
Yeah.
And even though sometimes they come out on top by being a late bloomer, mm-hmm. them early adopters, man, they hit big.
Yeah, they yeah. hit big. I agree with you on that. You yeah. know what, though, thinking about that, like, you know, the mentality about affording and stuff and all that, and what conversation we was talking about, I think that's like a generational thing. You gotta, it's how you come up, you know, about being responsible with money or how you can afford things or what the definition of afford is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where a lot of people get confused.
That's you know? A great the definition of affordable.
Afford. Yeah.
That I guess it's different for everybody because some people will go with $100 in their bank account and say, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'll look at that. I'll be panicked.
Yeah. Hurting.
It'll be
hurting.
Panicked.
Yep, hurting.
But I guess you're right. And I guess the definition of what is broke or a definition of what is rich or what is successful.
Depends.
Yeah, it's all depends a person's kind of lifestyle. Mindset.
Yeah, it depends and on what kind of lifestyle you.
It's funny because I've seen to see a lot of people who grow up not as fortunate financially.
Mm-hmm.
They go one or two ways, and it's usually significant. They usually go way left as far as they always have to have money in their account.
Mm-hmm.
And even if, you know, probably me and you look at it and be like, man, you got some money in your account. Be like, no.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm always trying to, or they never have any money. And when they get money, they spend it.
They spend it ASAP because they ain't used to it.
Right. And so now they get some money. They're like, oh, I got to go get this. I got to go get this. I got to go. I'm used to kind of being broke.
Yeah. But, so I got the opportunity now to get it. So I'm going to get it.
Right.
So it's not always good. You know what I mean? But like I told you.
But so then it goes back to the argument where people say you can't take this with you when you die.
So enjoy it while you can.
We never know when your expiration date is.
Yeah.
So it's like, I even thinking about, you know, when I look at my accounts, it's like, and it's like, what am I doing this for?
Right.
What do who, I have
who am
all
I
this,
doing it for?
Well, like if I were to die tomorrow.
It was all for nothing.
Well, I enjoy the process of getting it. But if you can't, you're getting it for no reason. Right, yeah. Nobody just wants to be on a treadmill forever and not lose any weight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or not get any faster.
Yeah.
There's no purpose in that. So I feel like sometimes I look at it like, okay, I need to go kind of spoil myself. But I'm like, it's all, and when I think about mentality-wise, it's all stuff that goes away.
Yeah, but like, but don't even look at it as spoil you must treat yourself.
But what am I treating myself to? What am I treating myself for?
Something you want. Because if you don't have to worry about the things you need, right? We talked about needs and wants. If you don't have to worry, if you don't have to worry about the things you need, every once in a while, get what you want.
Mm, I don't know what I want. I want more money. Money boosts my morale.
For what though?
That's the thing. That's the
for
that's,
what?
That's
treat
always
yourself.
The kicker.
So yeah, I mean, it's all a mentality. But again, it's just how you grow up, man. I think that's what shapes your mentality.
You're right. You know? And I think like you said, depending on your generation and how you grew up, who raised you, how many people raised you, what their situation was.
Yeah.
I think.
What was your goal?
Yeah.
You know?
And I think.
Getting out of that situation or maintaining that situation or elevating that situation.
Yeah. You hit me off with it. And when I think about it more, family is big because you see more elements about, and you could take more about what you do and don't want to do, especially younger when you're, when you're, you know, building the foundation. You know, I don't know what age that is that you build foundations as far as your life when you take in the most information, you know, when you get a teenager, you think you figured everything out.
And I think that's what it is. Prior to being a teenager, you absorbing a lot, right? And then you start to try to put those, when you begin those teenage ages, adolescence, going through puberty and all, then you starting to try to shape your own version of what all that information you soaked up, you know? And then you just transform, you know, as the years go on, you transform, figure out what's for you, what's not for you. But it ain't always good.
No, it's not. But I think if you surround yourself with more people, you can hopefully, and this might be a people thing or a person thing, figure out what you do and don't want to take. But what if you just take the bad stuff and leave all the good stuff? That's what I'm saying.
So
this is why I don't want kids. This is why I can't have kids, is this mentality right here.
Yeah, but it's one point in your life, you got to, at some point in your life, in our lives, We have to figure out where do I make a change, you know? And I'm tell you, because you go through everybody go through some sort of trauma, right? Everybody go through some sort of trauma. Everybody go through some sort of experience. Everybody see things throughout their life, right? And they affect you, right? Positive and negative, they affect you. So at what point do you decipher between what's the negative and the positive, what I take forward and what I leave where it's at? Because at some point it's on you. You can't be 45 years old and still saying, well, this is what they did to me when I was 7.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? But I see a lot of people doing that, man. And it can hurt you, you know? And I say this, for example, right? Somebody grow up with parents, right? In a dual parent household. And two examples, dual parent household, the father treats the mother like trash, right? And then you got a son and a daughter, right? Two kids, son and a daughter, father treats the mother like trash. Mother does everything she wants to do or tries to do to keep this father happy, but he just who he is, right? An asshole. So you got the son. He sees this. Mm-hmm. So he can take it two ways. he either think, okay, generationally, or I watched my father, or maybe if it was a father and a grandfather, right? This is how he watches him treat his mother. You know what I mean? So to him, he either thinks it's okay. He becomes a man of his own. He becomes a father or a husband or a boyfriend, and he treats his wife that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or he gets to a certain point in his life and he says, I hated to see my mother feel that way. He hated to see his mother feel that way. I'm never going to be like that to women. So he goes right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the daughter. The daughter watches the father, right? Treat the mother like that. The daughter watches the mother go with it, right? Mm-hmm. Continue to try to make the father happy. Two ways. She either says, I hated to see my mother cry, unhappy. I'm going to make sure I'm never with somebody that treats me like that.
Right.
Or she sees her mother constantly accept this, right? Absorb it and continue to be in that situation. And she puts herself in the same place.
Right.
Right. So at what point do she break that? Right. And that's the part where you got generational curses that you have to decide, or generational habits, right? That you have to decide where you're going to be, on which side of the line you're going to be. Am I going to continue this? Am I going to be, because what happens is you become a parent, right? That boy becomes a father, that girl becomes a mother. And if they take it both the negative way, now their kids, right? What are they seeing?
Right. And it keeps going.
It keeps it going.
Yeah.
It keeps it going.
So when I think about it and bounce this idea off of you, we're talking about relationships, right? With people. Why? Mm-hmm. What attracts us to a certain type of people? Right? So,
mm-hmm.
For instance, if I see a girl that I'm attracted to, certain things attracts me mm-hmm. to people.
Mm-hmm.
Before, years ago, it was looks.
Right.
That's all I cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was certain things, you know, I mean, fuck, we on the podcast. The booty, the breast,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Flat stomachs type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost like what I saw on TV.
Right.
Like,
and you took the words right out of my mouth. The TV version of perfect.
Yeah. And, you know, and back then it was videos were out real big.
Yep.
I mean, videos are still kind of big. So you have the video vixens that are out
mm-hmm.
That this is what they wanted. They had. Yep. And I was like, man, that'd be dope. You know what I'm saying? Have right. a girl to look like that. But now, or even now, I say 10 years from now, 5 years from now, it was all about personality. Now it's all about personality.
Yeah, because you get older, man. And
so that's what I'm saying. What breaks the pattern? I think it's all about, one, why do the people that we pick or surround ourselves around with, right? We talked about way earlier, season one, I think it was episode two, toxic people in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And those toxic people that we always surround ourselves with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like you said, generationally, like, I don't know why people surround themselves with negative type people and why they cannot push those people away. I don't get it. I do it too. I have people in my life that are like that. I wish I could push them away. And for some reason, I don't know what it is.
But you can. But the thing is, you're not going to push somebody away until you're ready. And a lot of times, you don't push them away. If it's hard, what it takes is a traumatic situation, a situation so bad to the point where it takes you damn near all your strength to break away from.
Right.
And then that, because some people learn lessons at different times in their lives.
Right.
Right.
Well, we should always be learning lessons in our lives. Yeah. It should be constant.
Right. But certain lessons some people learn at different times in their lives. Some people, you got people that has addictive personalities. Then you got people that can cut people off in the drop of a hat.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when you talk about that, you're talking about people that don't, that like to beat themselves up more than just realizing that they're not the problem, it's the people they keeping around them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all depends on the individual, you know? So somebody might could to me, we could watch a situation and be like, man, look at this dude treat this girl like
but
trash.
That's so easy. God, right. That's so easy.
Right.
Yeah.
But
don't
know
any background about it. Don't know, you know, how, what he did for her before or what she did for him. I don't want to just keep picking on dudes.
But it can be exactly what you see. Right. And you can be say, you know, we all got, you know, male or female friends that, you know, we have a strong respect for, we care a lot for. Right.
Yeah.
And you would never want to see nobody do them no harm as if they was your blood family.
Correct.
Right. And you could be telling this person all day long, hey, what they doing to you is not right. You know, they treating you like trash. Why are you putting up with it? Why do you accept it? Why are you believing that you should be going through this? And to them, they looking at you like, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? They not treating me bad. This is just what happens. Yeah. Because they allow themselves to believe that what's happening is right. That shit ain't never right.
So, look, yes, you're right. That's,
it ain't never right. You know what I mean? Yeah, we have to, men, women, whoever. You know what I mean? If you going through a situation, because what we talked about episodes ago, man, your internal happiness is important, bro. You know, if you compromising your integrity, if you compromising your happiness because of trying to keep someone or keep a situation, it ain't gonna be no good for you. You know what I mean? It's gonna destroy you.
Yeah, and that's usually how habits are formed, or bad habits. Yeah. You know, gambling or whatever it is. Yeah. Addictions is pretty addiction. Much an addiction.
Yeah,
you think you can manage it, and you probably could for a couple weeks, but it's hard to look out many, many years and say, can I still handle this?
Right.
It's hard to do it in the moment.
Right.
And then you start going out of control. It starts getting out of control. And then, okay, let me hold it. Let me get it back. Let me get it back. And then the addiction comes back. Like, let me try one more time.
Right. But it's an internal discipline. Like, nobody could tell you when you're ready, right? Or nobody can tell you when you had enough. Only you can tell you that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think a lot of it stems from people's past, what they watch others go through or what they were taught is okay. Like for instance, right? You hear, I seen so many people post about and so many memes about marriage is not the same anymore. Back in the day, our grandfathers and granddad has 2-3 kids outside of grandma, but she stuck with them. And right? So again, you look at that two ways. Like, was grandma a good wife for sticking there, right? Or was she a bad wife because she told her daughters that it's okay to stick in these situations? It was good for grandpa to be doing the shit he did, because now he taught his sons a lesson that's not right.
So when I look at grandfathers, and we're both a little older, so it's not like your kids think about how you view your dad. It's totally different than how you view your dad's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So your kids look at your dad like grandpa, right?
Right.
A little bit different. When I look at my grandfather, I mean, he was older when I was young, right? He was, I think, in his 70s somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, and I could be wrong, back then, women didn't have the same opportunities they do now. So when they found a man who was probably the
breadwinner.
There you go. The breadwinner of the house.
Yep.
They put up, and unfortunately, they put up with a lot more. Because if he kicks me out,
where am I going? I can see that. And I think you have a very valid point, you know, but think about the fast forward generations ahead, what the lessons that was taught or what was taught to be comfortable.
This is what I'm saying about what you're saying. So you brought up earlier about what they saw. So your kids didn't get to see your father's father.
Right.
Only you did.
Right.
If you did.
Right. Yeah, I did.
Okay. So they didn't get to see that. And they damn sure didn't grow up with that.
Right.
You might have grew up with it a little bit. Like, I grew up with it probably like the first influential. I'm fucking it all up. Mm. The first years of my life where I'm soaking all the information up.
Got you.
I'm getting all that information from him.
Right.
So when your kids are 7, 6, 7, 8 years old, when they're supposed to be getting all the sponge information, they don't get that, what you just got when you were. So stay with me. But you saw that, and you can either, like you said, take that information, say this is how it's supposed to be. Or you can, you know, run away and see what your dad's doing and then take on what other people are doing, because everybody does stuff differently.
Yeah.
And like you said, how you were raised, how far you go back. Some people have great grandfathers. I never had a great grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure if they were raised by them or were around them, it might be totally different. And same thing is the community that you grow up in.
Right.
Where you were fortunate or unfortunate enough to grow up in and what you take from that. Some people are raised in the ghetto and they never want to leave.
Right, 100%.
Some people are raised in the ghetto. They say, "Get me the fuck out of here."
Right, but it goes along to, like I told you, goes along with that individual, that internal discipline.
Right,
like,
but I can't look at a situation that somebody who stays in the ghetto is in a bad situation, and I can't look at the situation somebody who's in Beverly Hills is in a great situation.
In a great situation. Yeah, because I tell my kids all the time, like, you think all rich kids are happy?
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You think all rich kids are happy? No, because the money is there. You know what I mean? The money, the big house, the cars, the parties, is there. Like, that's there. But those kids, a lot of the times, those kids want so much more. And it has nothing to do with materialistic things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
True friends.
Yeah, yeah. True friends, true family, yeah. Time with their parents. You know, their parents to sit down and just talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, these some of them parents raise their kids off money.
You know,
you mad? Here, take this car. You mad? I'm going to put an extra $5,000 in your account.
Yeah.
That's not parenting.
Don't
bro.
Lose this train of thought. I just met somebody, and you know, I teach with the mm-hmm. class. I teach mm-hmm. so somebody that was in the class. I don't want to put his name out there, but he was raised by a nanny. He said he never saw his dad.
Yeah.
They were married. His mom and dad were married. Mom worked. Mm-hmm. Dad worked, but he did a lot of offshore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always
gone.
So he said, my nanny raised me. So when I wanted something, I would tell the nanny. The nanny would tell the parents.
Yeah.
The parents would get it. Either they would give it to me like, surprise, look what I got you. He didn't realize till he got older, like every time I asked for something, it's like they... Like when I was younger, it was cool, like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You put out a wish and you get it. He said, but when I got older, it almost came like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
And he couldn't put what he was missing until he really got older.
Until he understood for him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He went to other people's house and it's just like dad was playing.
Yeah, he's playing video games and all that.
So he said what changed this whole train of thought, they went out to go, they wanted to go play football or basketball or go do something, right? Yeah. And the pops was like, I'm coming.
That don't happen.
Yeah, your dad's coming.
Yeah.
And so he was throwing the ball and they were talking. You know, you throw the ball, you talk. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And he started just listening to them talking. He's like, man, I don't have that.
But
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break you.
No, you good. But it's a perfect example.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Perfect example. It's a balance. You know, everything, the analogy that everybody knows, the grass always look green on the other side.
Man, oh God.
It always look green on the other side. You know what
feel
I'm saying?
Green.
Yeah, right. But then it all, like I said, it's all about how you when you coming up in your past, at what point in your life do you throw the flag and be like, all right, I learned so much from this. This made me happy. This one I'm going to take out of this box. All this turmoil and trauma and trials and tribulations, I'm going to leave that in the box and locking it up, and then I'm just going to take this and then learn more. You know what I'm saying? But everybody don't do that. Some people put the happiness in the box, lock it away, take the trials and the tribulations, and they try to run with that.
Do you hold on to any negative stuff that happened in your life? You don't have to say specifically. Okay.
Give me an example.
So something that maybe your dad did or something that, you know, your cousin did or something that somebody did you wrong and you hold on to it.
I hold on to it, but I don't hold on to it as a weight. I hold on to it as a reminder that's some shit I'm never going to do. You know what I'm saying? This is something that I'm always going to, when the signs of this is appearing, I know that I'm avoided at all cost.
So
that's why.
That's your experience and your lessons learned. So you don't. So when you see that red light or whatever,
it's a reminder. Okay, boom. This is that. Yeah. You know, I gotta go left. Well, go right. You know what I'm saying? But I hold on to it a small piece of it because of that. You know what I'm saying? But I don't hold on to it as a gripe or keep a pocket of anger or nothing like that. It's just a reminder that where I came from. You know what I mean? And always stay away from. That not to forget because it made me who I am, you know what I mean? But to always stay away from going down that road, you know what I mean?
Let me apologize to the listeners. We doing this from home and you got some people doing some yard work.
Hey, man,
outside.
Make it more real, man. In the day when my big dog would come in here barking in the back, you know what I mean? Hey, that's the reality of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Reality podcast.
So if you guys hear a little background noise, that's what it's from. Yes. I can't edit that.
Oh, no. Hey, it's
got
all
a little
good.
Fancy
hey, get the message.
That. Yeah,
get
exactly.
The message.
But I agree with you. I mean, generations have to do with something. And then the internal, like I always look at people who don't have rich families or didn't come up like... I'm trying to think of a name, the Jeff Bezos or, you know, the President Trump's kids, the generational wealth, and then find wealth, you know, like the Kevin Hart's or whatever.
Yeah.
He didn't come up like that. Nobody in his family has anything like that.
Right.
He was able to turn it around somehow, some way.
Yeah, because it's possible. But it had to be a light bulb that went off to him and said, I'm going to be different. When you think about his comedy, his stories, you talk about how his dad was on drugs.
Yep.
His mother was the single mother that was holding together. He, you know, his father was in and out. You know, his father was still things. And And I guarantee you, I would hope he never stole nothing from his kids. You know what I mean? If you watch his videos, and TB don't show it all because we're not in a daily part of this man's life.
Right, right.
But from what you would see, and even he had his trials and tribulations because it was a situation with his marriage or his engagement or whatever. But a light bulb had to go off with him with one, I'm not going to be that father. Two, I messed up as a husband and I need to change where I messed up at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you have to understand that, right? Especially, you know, you think about young women, right? And I'm just talking from just hearing stories and things like that and experiences like young women, how can it badly affect them, right? Because you got the good guy and you got the bad guy. You got the good girl and the bad girl. You know what I mean? But when you got a young woman that grew up with a scumbag father, you know what I'm saying? And now they attracted to scumbags. You know
this. Go ahead. I'm gonna let you finish.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it can be detrimental to him. You know what I'm saying? Like you, and then you would hope that you would never want to see yourself in a situation to where you once saw and it was damaging to another female.
Right.
But you got that where, like I say, it could go left, and that's what they attract to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And the weird part about me, I've never met a parent. I know thousands of parents.
Right.
That don't want better for their kids than what they have.
Right.
I think that's a common phrase for all dads or all moms to say, I want my kid to do better. I want it better
to
for
have
my kid.
Better.
Have better for my kids, right?
Yeah.
But somehow, I don't know what life happens. I don't know. And that's the scary part about having a kid. It's just, or having a child.
Right.
That sounds negative when I say kid. But that's the negative part of having a child, or the downfall. It's like, how far do you push the envelope? And a lot of people say, man, I need to take care of me.
Yeah.
I need to take care of my personal. I don't know if it's when child are born, when they come into people's lives. But everybody says they want better for their kids.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always happen.
No, it don't, man. It don't. And like I said, it's all on that person. It's all on that person. It's all about what you think about what's important. You know what I mean? Like, you wanting better for your kids is to first and foremost watch what you do.
Yeah.
Because it's not always about what you can provide them or you know, what kind of clothes you can give them, what's the
but
brand
a lot
or whatever.
Of people, and this is the crazy part. I'm going to get animated with this. I think a lot of people think that because
they
take what they didn't have and say, I need to give all this to my kids. So the people who didn't have all the shoes, all the kids have all the shoes.
Yeah.
People that didn't have all the clothes, all the kids get all the clothes.
Right.
People that didn't have all the family, they want to give all the family. So if I had a kid, I want to give them, I always say him because that's what, if I ever had a choice, I want a little boy.
Yeah.
But I would be more around family because I was never really around family.
Right.
And I see the importance of it later. So that's maybe my downfall is that the stuff I did have, I kind of leave on the back burner and be like, okay, I'll get him this when I can. But I want to give him more of what, I keep saying him, but
no,
I want to give them more of what I never had.
Right.
And they kind of lose the balance.
But you, and that's cool, but you got to understand how beneficial it's going to be for them. Because
it benefits you more than it benefits them, because they don't know any better.
Right.
If you were to give them exactly how your childhood was, they would not know any better. They might go a different way than you would go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try to counter your own life in their life, is kind of what the way I see it. So the stuff you didn't have, you want to make sure they have it because you didn't have it. They don't know any better.
Right.
They don't know they never had it.
You're right.
So
that's where the role of us being parents. You got to insert
what's there, a book? Is there
it's not. It's life lessons, right? You like we said, you're a sponge when you coming up as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult. You're a sponge, right? And then you got to formulate to what works, what doesn't work. Parenting is a constant lesson. Mm. You're right. There is no book.
Right.
Parenting is
so
constant.
How do you know if you're doing it right?
You asked me this before, right?
Yeah.
Let's go back to the very first shows. How you know you a successful leader, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How you know you successful parents by the way your children turn out. I don't think you ever know that you're a good parent until your children become adults.
Mm.
That's when you know. That's your final exam grade. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's how I feel. That's your final exam grade, because you just, what Cat Williams say, you're trying shit and you're trying shit.
Yeah,
trying
don't work.
Shit. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what happened. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, you trying your best, and you trying your best of what's right.
I think it's so much pressure, and maybe that's the part. It's like you said, the end of the exam. So try taking an 18-year exam every day you're taking it.
Hey.
And it's different questions, it's different subjects.
You telling me? You telling me?
But I guess some people seem to handle it so well.
That's the, because the thing is, that's just the, that's the shell of it. Mm. That's the shell of it. You know what I mean? Like, I try my best to handle it as well as possible. But it's times I sit by myself like, man, am I doing this right?
So, okay, I'm going to take you for example. We don't have to get too personal, so you can tell me, shut the fuck up. Take your oldest, right?
Uh-huh.
Take your youngest.
Yep.
And the stuff that you would give to him or making sure he doesn't go down that road, is that because your oldest did it?
I everything that was successful for my oldest, but you gotta keep in mind too, they two totally different people.
That makes it
harder. They two totally different people. You know what I mean? So my oldest, you know, he in politics. He'll read stuff. He'll research. My youngest, you know, he doing sports and stuff like he doing school work and stuff like that. But he ain't into politics. Yeah. You know, he I'm gonna give you a perfect example. You talking Martin against Malcolm? Straight up. You talking Martin and Malcolm.
Yeah.
Those are my boys.
Most people say that they got two kids and they're totally different. Yeah, they're totally different.
Now my daughter and my oldest son are more alike than my two sons.
Okay.
Yeah. My middle son, he rough and rugged. You know what I mean? My youngest son, I mean, he just now coming into himself where we going somewhere, you know, we gonna get more a little more smooth with it. You know, he'll throw some slacks and button up or a nice sweater and his shoes. But my oldest son, he throw on some comfortable casual shoes that look right with his jeans and stuff or sweater. That's just his swag. That's just him. My youngest son, basketball shorts, sweatpants, that's him.
Yeah.
Throwing a t-shirt. Other day he walked out the door. This man had four different shades of blues on. I said, bro, where you going? You going to school like that? He said, oh, man, Dad, I'm just going to school.
Why you chase the voice?
You know what I'm saying? That's what he said. Right. You know, but the man, hey, do your thing, bro. He don't care about what people think about him. And not to say what my oldest son thinks. You know what I mean? They just got that he cares what other people think about. My youngest son don't care.
Yeah.
I try to teach all of them, don't ever care what people think about you.
So when you, okay, so that's a lesson. Something to take. So when your son wears something that you, when I say don't approve, it's not like he's wearing gang signs or nothing like that.
Nah.
He's just wearing two separate or three separate shades.
Yeah, he got some crazy colors on. Yeah, like, you know,
shit that clashes.
Right. Like, and bro, me, I'm like, what
everybody
you doing?
Can look at that and say don't match. And you look at him and be like, bro, what you doing?
Yeah.
So why are you wearing that? And he says, you know, I don't care about people say. What do you do as a parent? Are you sending a message that says don't ever care what people think? Because there's going to become a time where you go on interviews or you do things like that where you
He knows that. He knows that. Like his first job interview, I ain't have to go in there.
I forgot he did that.
Yeah, I ain't have to go in there.
Hey, shout out to him, man, for getting that job. That's huge, man.
He trying to do his thing, man. Yeah. He passed on that. Yeah. He trying to get another one close to the house, so it's nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
But my oldest son got his. Okay. But I ain't have to go in his room and be like, hey, you know, we going to a job interview. He went in, he had him a polo, nice button-up polo, decent fit jeans. He threw on some decent joint on his feet, and we went.
So what, in that situation, what if he had on two different colors? We almost got into, like, how to be a parent type of episode. Yeah. But he had on two different colors. He's mixed match. He was all tore up. And you say, yo, you can't go interview like that. And he says, Dad, you never cared about what I wear.
But then that's when me as a father know, in that situation, it has to be different. That's when I explain to him as a father.
You just hope he takes it.
Yeah. I mean, he's still my kid.
Yeah.
So
you
still
gonna tell him and ask him or you gonna make him.
That's it. Right, you know what I mean? Me and my wife still run the house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I raise my kids to be respectful, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I raise my kids to be respectful.
When people say they raise their kids to be respectful, I don't think anybody raised their kids not to be respectful.
Some people do.
Really?
And I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay.
It might not be a mission set to be like, man, when I get kids, I'm going to teach them to be the most. Actually, people do think like that, whether you believe it or not. And it's people that think like that.
Yeah.
But what I say indirectly, because the way you treat your kids is you're raising them and teaching them. I tell people all the time, yeah, you the mother and you the father. I'm the father. My wife's the mother. But I respect my kids as human beings because if I raise them by being disrespectful to them, when at some point in time in their lives, they're going to become adults and they're going to come to a point where they don't need me and my wife to do for them. So when they get to that point, I don't want them to feel like, oh, I don't need them. disrespect time. You know what I'm saying? I want them to always know, hey, Jamiah, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? I want them to always, even when they deal with strangers, bro. If I don't know if you even remember the first conversation you might have had with my kids in the building, you might not even realize if you said something to them, they probably didn't say yeah.
Right.
They didn't say that. They talk to people, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And that's not for me to teach them like this military background or, you know, like a robot, but you be respectful. You let people see that you're a respectful individual. Because what I teach them is going to be, it's a part of their generational learnings. You know what I'm saying? It's a part of who they're going to be as adult. They're going to look at, all right, my dad taught me X, Y, and Z. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully X, Y, and Z is all good, but I ain't perfect. So I'm pretty sure I've done some things that when they looked at, it was like, I'm going to do that a little bit different from my dad. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm learning too.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's times I get upset and drop some F-bombs and all. And that's not always right. It's not right at all. I have to learn to constantly learn to transform my dialogue. You know what I'm saying? But if everything I say to them every five words is a curse, it's a curse, it's a curse. That's what they're going to pick up.
I always wonder, because I never grew up around that household, but when I went to go get bridge with my friends, I told y'all on the west side, it was that type of environment where it was, I was almost like, oh, fuck. Like,
yeah, am I in trouble?
Yeah, somebody going to fight up in here? Yeah. But that's how they talk to each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it was nothing for my man's, I guess his stepfather or just, what do you call like a boyfriend? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her mom's boyfriend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To be like, A, B word, come here.
In front of them.
In front of everybody.
Right, bro, that's we were totally older.
I was like 13 at the time, 12, 13, so I knew what the hell was going on, but I was just like, oh, shit, she's going to beat his ass.
It's totally incorrect. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm like, well, it's time to go. He's like, no, that's how they talk. Like,
yeah. But we got to be.
I was just shaking my head like, what?
Bro, we got to be cognizant of what we do as uncles, aunts, you know what I mean? Older cousins, grandparents, parents. We have to be cognizant because you are teaching somebody ways that can take them throughout the rest of their lives, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's why I told you, you know, once I got older and I realized, you know, everything that I saw wasn't right. You know what I mean? My father having this woman and that woman, it wasn't right.
Yeah.
You know? So I had to look at that and then break it down like, bro, that's not what you want to do, because I got kids. I got sons that's sponges. I got two sons that if they see me doing that, they going to think having all the women is right. I got a daughter that if she sees me doing that, she going to think being somebody's side chick is okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I never, bro. Yeah. I want my son. I got one wife. I got one woman I got kids by. Yeah. That's it. No disrespect to nobody that got four and five baby mothers. That's your thing. But I will ask you to sit down and think about the issues you going through, the lessons you teaching your kids. I will ask them, challenge anybody out there to sit down and think about that. Mm-hmm. Because as you get older, those are the situations you have to deal with. Ain't nothing cool about, to me, you know, and I challenge anybody that want to go, you know, get on my social media and send me a message and let's talk about it. But ain't nothing cool about having seven and eight different women as baby mothers, bro.
I don't know I tend to think, because I don't think anybody think that's cool.
Some people do.
Or the majority. Some people probably do. I don't know why you would think that's cool. I don't know anybody.
That's because you would never do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
We could never fathom it because it's not something that we would think is cool. But it's people that think the total opposite of what and how we think.
Right.
You know, it's women out there that think, I'm never going to be with some guy that one time he disrespect me, it's a done deal. Mm. Because when you let people get away with things, right, without challenging it or checking it, it's going to become a reoccurring problem.
Yeah,
because they feel like there's no consequences to it. If somebody is emotionally abused, is verbally abused, physically abused, and you in a situation and you allowing it to keep happening,
right,
and you never do anything about it, or you don't vacate that situation,
yeah,
it's going to keep happening, and it's going to escalate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's going to escalate.
It's out of control.
Some sort of
addiction.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, until some sort of situation happens that cuts it in half.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to, people got to understand you in control for the most part of what happens to you outside of God's plan. For y'all, for us that believe in God, you can be in control of it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's not easy. It's difficult. It is. Doing anything is difficult, or difficult to start. It's not difficult to keep it going because momentum is a mistress.
Yeah.
And she'll do her thing if you let her do it. She'll cut on a dime if you let her, but she'll definitely do her thing. And with anything, momentum will carry you through. Yeah. It's just hard to get started.
That's the thing. And it's always the start.
Right.
But once you start
it, we talked about the rubber band balls or you know, getting anything, it doesn't look like it does at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And even when you're doing it, it's like, man, I'm never gonna get this done.
Yeah. We just
people, look at the podcast.
Right.
Shit.
It just, all it took was a start.
Right.
All it took
was a
start.
Look how long it took for us to start it, though. You know, that background story. And, you know, even Kevin Hart, man, he has this episode that I used to watch in him and like a motivational thing. And he says, what I am is 13 years of the word no.
Yeah.
What y'all see is not accurate.
Yeah.
13 years ago, from this point, take back 13 years, I didn't have nobody tell me yet.
Right.
Now I got people begging me. To do things. I got to tell them no.
Yeah.
It's a reverse situation.
Yeah.
But it took that momentum, and momentum lasted him 13 years, the same momentum. So I think about Kevin Hart's funny as hell to me.
Yeah.
But there got to be comics that are funnier.
Of course. That just stopped. It was somebody out there better than Joe, and he just never took his shot.
Yeah.
He just never took his shot, or he never got the shot.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
But it's all about people taking care of themselves initially, because you can't take care of somebody else if you're not taking care of yourself, right?
Right.
I'm going to take it to the simplest instruction anybody that ever flew or flown on an aircraft or airplane ever heard, right? You know when a flight attendant is giving her instructions, right?
Yeah.
And she say, in any event, something's going to happen, the mask going to drop from the ceiling. Make sure you put your own mask on first before you assist some. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's simple.
I just use that same that same exact analogy. Yeah. I swear to God, just
how I'm gonna help you breathe if I can't breathe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? How I'm gonna help you breathe if I can't breathe.
Right.
You know? But in the same sense, somebody around you there's people around you that's trying to stop you from breathing.
But we always say the same, iron sharpens iron. You know what I mean? We all have these little cliches and phrases
that everybody
understands, that everybody knows. But for some reason, we get involved with people who we think are irons and they're really not.
But see, that's for you.
But you got to turn around.
You have to.
Yeah.
But it's for you to identify, or at least not be selfish enough to listen to somebody that's trying to help you identify it. Because you can understand, because it's like this. If you trying to tell me, right, hey, dude over there, bro, he ain't meaning you no good. Like, I seen this cat, you know, I watch how he move, or I seen him do this when you wasn't around. I need you to put your eyes on it. I'm going to listen to it, right? Yeah. I'm at least take heed of it and start watching a little bit, right? But if I got, you know, it's going to be harder to listen to somebody that ain't doing the damn thing, that's ain't worth crap, that's just off their rocker, or that I know might be jealous or hating on what I'm trying to do, and I'm going to be more reluctant to, you know what I'm saying? So it's all about who you keeping in your circle and who's trying to give you that advice.
And that's why I think it's big you have somebody that influences you, that has a lot of influence over you.
You have to have, if you always are
the top of your mountain and you don't, nobody on your mountain or in your circle influences you, go get another circle.
Yeah. Because that is, bro, that's paramount to that breaking point. We talk about a breaking that generational instances that could be negative for you. You need somebody that maybe have been through it, you know what I mean? And escaped it, right? Or that's where you want to be, that's telling you. But you got to be, again, you got to be cognizant. You can't just be hard-headed and think you know it all, because obviously this person is taking time to tell you something for a reason. But being stubborn and thinking people, you know, thinking you always the best of the best, sometimes that gets in the way.
Right.
But you can never be stubborn enough to listen, and you got to always be willing to learn, you know, because it's always a better Big Mike or a better Pete, or it's always going to be somebody that's been doing it or has done it before us in some way, shape, or form. So you got to be humble.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to be humble, man. But bro, it's just important, man, because the things you learned and the things you went through as a kid, man, they can make you or break you. But it's on us. It's on us to be able to identify a situation and say, you know, I learned from that. I've been there. I've done that. Or I watched somebody else be there and do that, and I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let me go in a different direction. You know what I mean? But if you see it and you don't take heed to the damage that it does to people or is doing to you, it's going to be a problem for you.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem for you, man. And it's like, I watch and I listen to people's situations. You know, I listen to people talk, man. And it's like, you can hear through people's voices. Like, you went through that, or you watched somebody go through that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I can hear it through yours right now. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You went through that. You watched somebody go through, and I watched people go through, and it's like, why didn't you learn? You saw that happen. You know, you saw this person treat all these people like trash. Why would you go get yourself involved with somebody that's just like that? You know what I mean? Why?
I guess it's so easy to look and say.
From the outside in. You know, from the outside in.
And it's easy. And you never know the whole story. And just like anybody you watch on TV or anybody you don't really know or don't. Yeah, you don't know. And even people you think you know, you don't really know.
You don't really know, man.
And so, that's a tough one. It's hard. I never want to look at somebody and say, why did you do this or why did you do that? I just want to help them get through it.
Right. But and that's the thing. If you that mentality is probably the greater one. It is the greater one. That if you see somebody going through something, not just judge them.
Right.
You know? Communication, bro. Communication is important. That one question could help them possibly realize a years of things. You know what I'm saying? Right. Just by asking that one question. Why are you putting up with that?
Yeah.
And not even, you might not even have to tell them what you're talking about. Right. Just ask that question. Why do you put up with that?
Right.
And make them think, shit, you know what? They already know what that is. You know what I mean? Why do I put up with that? Make them ask themselves.
And I'm always like, I don't really care the why, because it could be 100 different things and maybe two of them I understand. And you might give me the 97 that I don't, or 98 that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what are we going to do to get through it?
But you have to understand the why first.
I don't.
Not you, they do.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Not you, they do. Because I'm with you. Because I might be like, okay, I hear you, but I don't care. All I see is that it's damaging you.
Let's move forward.
But they have to understand the why. Because it may not be no
You're
why.
Right. I like that.
You know what I'm saying? It may not be a why. Why are you letting him emotionally abuse you?
Yeah.
Why are you letting him or her treat you like trash? Why are you going through these situations where you're capable and the potential that you have could put you in a better situation? Why?
Yeah. So I see better.
Right.
I see you could do better.
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing better? I don't want you to fall in the trap of, you know, I could have done this.
A lifetime of heartache and danger.
5, 10, 20 years from now, I'll be like, man, I should have been doing this.
Yeah.
Or even people, like, I look at people with gifts, even this might be a different subject, but with gifts that can draw, that can write, that can read, that can, you know what I'm saying? Better than the average.
Right.
But and don't do anything with
because they not, in my opinion, of course, because I ain't no top psychologist or nothing like that, but I just don't think a lot of people don't chase what makes them happy. They chase what they feel other people want to see them chase, or what they feel what's going to make other people happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't chase they don't go after what they really want to go through, right? You got parents that, you know, say if I was constantly pushing my sons to let's use my middle son, right? Basketball, got him out there on the court all day long, and you're going to eat, sleep, and crap basketball. And in his mind, he only doing that because dad want him to do it.
Right.
He want to be a rocket scientist, but I ain't focused on that. I'm not tapping into his passion because I'm trying to live my dreams through him. You know what I mean? Like, what good am I doing? Because what's going to happen is I'm doing more pushing him away than I would be if I was encouraging him.
But I think a lot of people do that, and that's why I asked the question before. Are we giving kids things that we didn't have because we didn't have them, and said we're missing the balance of they don't need all this stuff, but they need to see some of the other stuff as well? Because if I just push them to do or give them or take away things that I've been through, like, we never really let them learn.
You know what? I think we people missed the mark when it comes to that. Is, I say it again, communication.
Yeah,
you have to be a friend, a father, a grandfather, or whoever to that person it is, right? Like, I can't just be like, oh yeah, this is good for Pete. you know, and then be like, all right, I'm gonna start doing this.
I hate people that
I gotta sit down and be like, yo, what you wanna do? Like what like what's your if you had a button right now that you could push and it'll automatically put you in the next place you wanna be, where would that place be?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta ask that to your kids. You gotta ask that to your friend or somebody you care about. Sit down and ask. Don't just take somebody else's joystick and start playing their game.
True.
You know what I mean?
I think that's the hardest thing about parents. You need to be their number one fan and their toughest critic at the same time. But as their fan, cheer them on. So your son is not good at baseball.
But I'm gonna tell you, you gotta be honest.
Yeah.
You have to be it is, but you have to be honest. Yeah. You have to be able to tell your coworker that's not working.
So how do you tell your son or we'll cut this as soon as we get done, but how do you tell your son or your daughter, whoever, like your daughter, she play volleyball.
Yeah.
So she doesn't suck.
No, she don't.
Yeah, if she wasn't better. Good.
Right.
Like just was not good, but that's what she loved to do. How do you tell, when is the time to be like, oh, I know you like this, but you're not going to become, I mean, I don't know what volleyball players get paid or go to the Olympics. You're not going to be an Olympian volleyball player. Like, you're just not. It's just not, you're just not tall enough. You're just not good enough.
Right.
Without destroying them. Because maybe they will.
It's about delivery, right? Like we talk about it when it comes to leading people. It's the same, right? You leading people, you're a parent, you leading your kids, you know, you're trying to take them to the road, you're trying to lead them on a road to success, right? You tell them as soon as you realize it. Don't just keep giving them a false sense of success. You know what I'm saying? I tell my daughter all the time, baby, you think you're gonna go out there and go on this team and do this, that, and third, you probably need to start doing more. Or you probably need to start doing X, Y, Z. That's not it. Like, we tell all the time. Now, I might have a little bit more tact than my wife, because my wife attack as soon as the game over. You ain't do that. You know what I'm saying? My wife be like a mini pit bull.
Yeah, you know,
and I'd be like, get back up off my baby.
She cried.
My daughter be like, she'll come off the court after the game, and, you know, we might see a couple things she adjust or she need to adjust. Soon as she come through the bench, my wife be like, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my daughter be like, all right, I'm out.
You know what's crazy, man? I think back to, you know, like martial arts or whatever. That's how I was. Well, that's how my dad was with me. That exact thing. We'd be on the ride home. You know,
he 30. Gunning you.
Oh, man. Nah. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you kick?
It's delivery. It's delivery.
You didn't see that coming? He did that four times in a row. And I'm just like, bro, like, I just lost.
Bro, like, ask the question. Like, because your brain ain't even formulated around the L that you took. Ask the question. First, let them come down off what just happened.
Yeah.
Or start it off how you think you did.
Mm.
Perfect question.
Nah.
How do you think you did? Feedback, right?
Feedback, yeah.
First question, you go sit down. So let me ask you how you think you're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If it comes to that relationship, ask that friend that's in that toxic relationship or that abusive relationship. If you can describe your relationship, how would you?
Man, ask them. That's a good ass question.
Bro, ask them.
Hopefully, yeah.
Right? Because if you ain't standing for nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're gonna fall for everything.
Yeah. True story, man. Good episode today, man.
Yeah,
a little
man.
Deep.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of information. We went all over the place with this thing.
Yeah, but
fuck
it. Yeah. Somebody and everybody got something.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? Somebody got something from it, man. Listeners, while you're taking a run, man, take a jog, whatever. Yeah. That's what I do, man. Gives me a little bit of motivation to keep going.
Yeah.
Even just to listen to a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then just put one foot in front of the other.
What's your takeaway, man?
A lot of takeaways.
What you want them to take away?
Takeaway, you know, you're influencing somebody all the time. Mm-hmm. Even when you walk past people or people see you for 5 minutes or you're in their lives for, you know, years,
mm-hmm.
people are going to take away what you are and who you are. You never know who you're going to be able to influence by what you do, your actions, what you see, what you say. Your actions take away a lot. So now I think about, you know, my little cousins or whatever that I try to influence on the good. And sometimes I say the wrong thing. My cousin got a fucked up haircut. He's like 12, got a fucked up haircut, but that's what he wanted. And, you know, I talked to my older cousin, his mom, the hell you let him get that fucked up haircut for? yeah. So I think my tact could have been a little different with that. But I take away, you know, take away that you are always influencing somebody.
Yeah.
What you got?
My takeaway is, man, do do to y'all, do what makes you happy. Yeah. Right. Do what makes you happy. Chase what makes you happy. Separate yourself from what doesn't. Don't ever forget your past, because it somewhat made you who you are, but don't let your past define who you right. will be. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Cut yourself from negative ties, toxic relationships, toxic people, and be positively influential.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man.
Yeah. All right, man.
Hey, I hope y'all got something, man. Enjoy y'all MLK Day. How we forget that?
Yeah, yeah.
How we forget that?
We didn't forget it. Nah. Yeah, we didn't forget it at all.
Say the best for last.
Yeah, there you go.
Say the best for last. Happy MLK Day to y'all, man. Do something good for somebody, regardless of what they look like, what they represent, long as it's positive. And just, we out here in Arizona, so it's nice weather. So,
it's cold as shit. Nah, forget
you
that.
You crazy.
Cold,
man. Anyway, I'm about to go take my daughter driving, man.
Oh, Lord, stay out the streets. Yeah, everybody in Arizona get,
she look, get a permit
the
this
episode
month.
Episode won't be pushed out, but also she get it for the whole month.
No, she get a permit this month. She take a test, written test.
Okay, so we're like halfway. Yeah. So you guys have 15 days to get off the road. Shut stay up. Off the road. Yeah.
Hey, hope y'all having a good day, man.
Yeah, unpopular celebrities, man. Don't forget about us, man. We out of here.
Yes, sir.
All right, peace.